Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. The home in which I grew to manhood and the home Molly and I established more than 57 years ago have deepened my commitment to strengthen families. Over the past 40 years, I have conducted dozens and dozens of workshops on the home. In addition, I taught marriage and family courses for many years at Freed Hardeman University. Since my graduate work at Murray State University in the early 1950s, I have bought hundreds of books on dating, mate selection, human sexuality, marriage, parenting, and related topics. Hardly a month goes by that I do not get a call to speak on the family, and I love to talk about marriage and the family. There are many topics relating to the family that are pertinent to today's society. I can furnish you with a great amount of statistical evidence that families are in trouble, such as the enormous number of divorces in America, the widespread incidence of spouse abuse and child abuse, alcoholism, adultery, lack of commitment on the part of parents to each other and to their children. If time permitted, I would like to examine some of the reasons families are in trouble, such as the destructive influence of the movies, television, popular music, pornography, the women's movement, the indifference or ignorance of parents, the failure of churches to teach the truth on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and the detrimental teaching of the academic community. But I shall take a different approach to our study of the topic, America's Troubled Homes. Approximately 25 years ago, I was invited to do a workshop on the home in one of our southern cities. Prior to my arrival on the scene, the preacher informed the members where I would be staying. He urged them to call me if they wanted to talk about their families. I spent most of the entire week talking with people, either on the telephone or at the church building. I was grateful people felt free to talk with me, but the week almost exhausted me. In fact, I had not unpacked my suitcases when I had the first call from a member of the church. From then on, I had one call after another. I shall discuss with you today several of the cases I had to confront that week. There is no possibility of anyone's being able to identify any of the people who called or the place where it occurred. But the cases show conclusively how troubled many homes are. I urge you to listen to these cases and to learn from them how to avoid some of the heartaches and headaches these people experience. Maybe our discussion will help you to have a stronger home and family. One husband and wife, not members of the Church of Christ, were concerned about the two children, ages 2 and 7, they had adopted. The boys were blood brothers and apparently had been abused considerably. Both boys had learning disabilities because of their hyperactivity. The psychiatrist had prescribed Ritalin to calm the boys and to enable them to handle their problems. The mother had asked the teacher to give her older boy some special attention. The teacher responded very negatively. She said she did not have time for special instruction, and besides, she did not think it would do any good anyway. Both boys had to be removed from the public school and had been enrolled in private schools where they were doing much better. Private schools in that city are very expensive, but the parents thought it was worthwhile for their precious boys. The mother works with the boys night and day and appeals to members of the church for some relief. I worked with some of the members of the church to see if they could arrange to give the mother a few hours of relief during the week. In addition to the problems the couple was having with their boys, the husband was suffering from lymphoma. Although the cancer was in remission, the prognosis was not good. The wife told me that her husband was the best thing that had ever happened to her. She did not know how she could handle the boys if their father died. I'm sure the case I have just described is not all that unusual. There are thousands and thousands of homes that face similar difficulties. Their situation raises a number of questions. Even though the husband and wife were not members of the church, did the members of the church have any obligation to them and to their boys? Do you remember what Paul told the Galatians? As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of the faith. Galatians 6:10. The family did not need food or clothing or other material help. They were desperate for someone to help with their troubled sons. I do not know what happened after I met with the couple, but I hope the Christians in that congregation came to their aid. I strongly suspect they did. During the workshop, a 41-year-old man came for counseling. He was a CPA and apparently quite successful. He had been married 16 years and the father of two children. He had been active in the church for many years. He had recently resigned as a deacon in the congregation. A 28-year-old woman worked in the same building as the CPA. She made it a point to drop by his office on a regular basis. She was having difficulty in her marriage, although she was not divorced. When she did not come by the office, she would call and talk with him. He told me that they had been having an affair for the past 6 months. The man told his wife, ask her to forgive him, which he did, resigned from being a deacon, and thought his problem was solved. But the woman, according to his testimony, would not leave him alone. He was very nervous talking with me about his problem, but seemed to be deeply disturbed about the possible consequences. I recommended that he move his office to another location, regardless of the financial cost. Incidentally, he did not blame the woman, but he could have and should have stopped the situation before it got out of hand. There is no excuse for a man or a woman to be involved in sexual immorality. The Apostle Paul knew the difficulties some people face in the area of human sexuality. Will you please listen to what he says about it? Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Absolutely not. What, do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, says he, shall be one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 6:15 through 18. The tense of the verb flee is present active imperative. Charles Williams renders the Greek, keep on running from sexual immorality. We cannot flirt with sin without getting ourselves in a mess. There is no excuse for anyone's being involved in sexual immorality. An older woman, the mother of a 24-year-old woman, called to talk about her daughter's marriage. The daughter had been married only 6 months when she had an affair. The husband did not put her away, so the marriage has continued for about 3 years. The husband began to physically abuse his wife. He argued that he had the right to punish her since he is the head of the house. At the time I met with the woman, the husband was saying that he had a right to put her away and marry another since she had committed adultery about 3 years ago. Both young people and both sets of parents are members of the same congregation. The mother raised two questions. Does he have a right as the head of the house to punish her for her infidelity? Is he free to remarry without violating Scripture? The Bible explicitly teaches that the husband is the head of the wife. Ephesians 5:23. Neither the rantings and ravings of the women's liberation movement nor the compromises of liberal religion have altered that biblical truth. But there is no justification for a husband physically abusing his wife. Any man who abuses his wife is a brute and deserves to be imprisoned. And for liberal theologians to infer that Paul's teaching on the husband's role in the home has contributed to spouse abuse is inexcusable. Am I saying that some men have never used the Bible's teaching as an excuse to abuse their wives? No, I am not saying that. But they have misapplied and misused the Word of God. In the same context where Paul taught that the husband is the head of the wife, he also taught, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Ephesians 5:25. and 28. Would Christ abuse his body, the church of the living God? Since the man had forgiven his wife and had elected to keep the marriage intact, he had no right 3 years later to put her away and marry another. That would have been a gross perversion of the Bible's teaching in Matthew 19. He could have scripturally put her away when she committed adultery. But when he took her back and forgave her, he would have been committing adultery if he divorced her and married another woman. In the meantime, the young woman had given birth to the couple's child. She was working two jobs to provide for herself and for her baby. In my judgment, the man was simply looking for an excuse to divorce his wife. Another young woman called to explain that her husband had been continuously unfaithful for years. She said she always forgave him, but he returned to his old behavior. She asked if she should divorce him or continue to live in the relationship. There are several problems that arise in such an arrangement. What effect will such philandering have on the children in the relationship? Would not remaining with the husband send the wrong message to the children and to others? Besides, his immorality could kill her. His sexual escapades could give her AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases. I recommended that she buy and read Dr. Dobson's book, Love Must Be Tough, New Hope for the Families in Crisis. The couple needed extensive Christian counseling, but she needed to give him an ultimatum. If he did not get his life in order, she should put him away, if not for his and her sake, for the children's. Children do not need to live in a home where either the father or the mother is promiscuous. It sends the wrong message to them. The last night of our workshop on the home, a young man, probably between 20 and 25, came to talk with me. He was so emotional, he could hardly talk about his problem. He and his wife had often discussed having children, but he was concerned that he might not be a good father. His own father had never hugged him, never told him that he loved him, and never expressed encouragement in any way. The young man explained that his father had never told him he had done a good job or that he could do well in any kind of work or activity. I wish I could say that this is an isolated incident, but unfortunately, it is not. Such fatherly indifference has an enormous negative impact on a child. I tried to assure the man that his recognition of the problem would go a long way toward resolving it. I used the following illustration to show that children have a tendency to be like their parents. When parents divorce, their children are more likely to divorce. But if they recognize the problem, they can overcome it. If they work at making their marriage stable and strong, it could make their marriage more secure. The tragedy is, if a child is not loved, he sometimes has trouble learning how to love. The Apostle John explains how we learn to love. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. The young husband can become a good father through prayer and reliance on our Heavenly Father, even though he did not have a good earthly father. One father with several children told me that his wife had left 7 or 8 years ago. The mother has little or no interest in her 13-year-old daughter. The father explained what he was striving to do in teaching his teenage daughter. He wanted to know if he were handling the situation properly. I encouraged him to find some woman in the church who would take an interest in his daughter and provide some of the advice, companionship, and love a mother should give her daughter. All of these are actual cases that were discussed with me during one workshop on the home. As you know, both from reading and from observation, many families and individuals are hurting. When we're given the opportunity to deal with these, we must do all within our power to remove the hurting or to soften the hurts. We must present Jesus Christ and the gospel as the answer. I ask you to think with me on some possible preventive measures. Would it not be much better to prevent some of the problems that arise rather than trying to solve them. The sad fact is that some situations cannot be solved. We have to accept them and get on with our lives. That may sound pessimistic, but all of us know it is the truth. For example, if your spouse has left you and married another person, there is nothing you can do under those circumstances. You have to accept it and handle it in the best way you can. So for the remainder of our time today, let us make some observations that may help some who are having trouble marriages. Teaching about marriage in the family has been woefully inadequate in many homes and churches. When I was teaching marriage and family courses at Fried Hardeman, I always began each class with two questions. How many of you have ever had instruction, either at home or at church, on marriage, divorce, remarriage, mate selection, childbearing, and similar topics? The usual number was between 10 and 15% of the class. Tragically, these young people came from some of the finest homes and strongest churches in our country. If they had not been taught on these vital topics, is it reasonable to suppose the rest of our young people have been taught? My second question was, how many of you have been taught about your bodies, about human sexuality? The numbers were negligible. How can we expect our young people to make good husbands and wives, good fathers and mothers, if they have never been taught? Living happily ever after does not happen accidentally, regardless of what Hollywood teaches. I am concerned, as I hope you are, about the teaching that churches do or fail to do. All churches must have classes and sermons on what the Bible teaches about marriage and the family. From what people tell me when I speak on the topic, they have not heard many sermons on these vital issues. One of the most frequent responses to my sermons and classes on the family is, we need more of that kind of preaching. Since the Bible has so much to say about marriage and the family, why do preachers neglect the topic? Are they afraid they might hurt someone's feelings? Do they believe the topics are relatively unimportant? There is no excuse for not teaching what the Bible says on every subject. As important as sermons and Bible classes are, they are not going to provide the information young people must have to establish and maintain good homes. Parents are primarily responsible for teaching their children. They must do it by giving them verbal instruction. That is, they must teach their children what the Word of God says on all topics relating to the home. As absolutely vital as that is, however, that is not adequate. The parents must exemplify what it means to be good husbands and wives and good parents. My Molly and I wanted our sons to see in us the love that should exist between husbands and wives. I believe our sons would tell you to this day that their parents really loved each other. Molly and I also wanted to bring our sons up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. We wanted to be the kind of parents we hoped our sons would be. In addition, parents must respond to the many destructive elements in our society. I'm speaking of the public media, the teachings in many of our public schools, the women's liberation movement, the gay liberation front, liberal religion, and others. How many people in my audience today believe that homes in America are stronger since the advent of television? Does popular music, including much of country music, actually strengthen homes? I'm not advocating getting rid of all television sets, even if that were possible, and not listening to country music. I'm begging parents to know what their children are viewing and hearing. Do we believe, in the words of Dr. Richard Weaver, that ideas have consequences? May our children and young people experience a steady diet of sleaze and not be influenced by it. Tragically, many of our public schools are advocating immorality and anti-Christian ideas. I urge all parents and other concerned citizens to buy and to read Marlon Maddox's book, Public Education Against America: The Hidden Agenda. I have time to give you one example from Maddox's book. At Excelsior School in Byron, California, students were required to attend an intensive 3-week course on Islam that mandated that they learn the tenets of Islam, study the important figures of the Muslim faith, wear a robe, and read the Quran. In addition, they were required to memorize 25 Islamic terms and learn 6 Islamic Arabic phrases, 20 Islamic proverbs, and the 5 pillars of faith. The students also had to pick a Muslim name and go on a make-believe journey to Mecca. Pages 19 and 20. I wonder why the ACLU was totally silent on this school's unconstitutional behavior. Our young people need to know the enormous damage the women's liberation movement has done to the homes of America. It has increased the tension between some husbands and wives. It has vigorously denied the importance of motherhood. After all, the feminists argue, is it not more important to be a doctor or a teacher or even a truck driver than to be a mother? One of the radical feminists argued that anybody can be a mother. Fortunately, many of our younger women are not buying into the anti-man and anti-home rhetoric of the radical feminists. Even the late Betty Friedan, the so-called mother of the women's liberation movement, realized that some of the feminists had gone too far. The Gay Liberation Front's attempt to legalize same-sex marriages is a direct attack against the home. There are a number of outstanding books showing the outlandish nature of so-called same-sex marriages. I strongly recommend 2 of those books. Dr. James Dobson's book, Marriage Under Fire, Why We Must Win This Battle, became an almost instant bestseller. The single best book on the topic, in my judgment, is Matthew Staver's book, Same-Sex Marriage, Putting Every Household at Risk. If you can buy only one book on the topic, the one by Matthew Staver will be adequate. We must not leave our children and young people uninformed on this destructive movement. Very briefly, we must warn our children and our young people about the dangers of liberal religion. Liberal theologians generally deny the inspiration of the Scriptures. They may claim to love the Bible, as Jean Shelby Spong does, but they attack virtually every fundamental of the faith, especially the great miracles. Spong affirms that the Bible is full of contradictions and includes many unscientific ideas, biased views of God and of humanity. If the Bible has so many flaws, how can it serve as a guide for our lives, including our family life? Once the Bible has been removed from people's lives, there is no solid basis for what are commonly called in modern times family values. Liberal religion is not the only explanation for the moral confusion that exists in our world, but it is a very important one. Can you think of any greater need in modern society than the influence of good people? Is that not what our Lord meant when he told his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his saving power, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Matthew 5:13-16. Christian families should stand out as wonderful examples in every community. And even one good family in a community can make a difference. Older couples should so live that younger couples will take notice of their happiness and say, "We want to be like them." Tragically, there are many older couples who seem not to have learned to get along and to enjoy their lives together. I have made a lifelong study of families. I grieve for the married people who live in tension, anger, and bitterness. They do not know what they're missing. Neither do they know the detrimental influence they're having on our younger people. I think of a couple I knew for many years. I remember their courting days. They apparently were happy for a number of years. But somewhere along the line, serious problems arose in the marriage. They were not kind to each other and seemed not to care about each other's welfare. The husband never referred to his wife by her name. It was always, "My wife." If I had treated my Molly as the man treated his wife, she would not have stayed with me for more than 50 years. I do not know if a husband ever physically abused his wife, but there is no doubt in my mind he emotionally abused her. The emotional abuse may have been worse than physical abuse. The real tragedy is that they missed out on so much in life. I close our study today with an emphasis on the absolute importance of the home. God knew that human beings were social creatures. He made us that way. After He had created the man, He said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper who is suited to his needs." Genesis 2:18. A man is not less than a man if he chooses not to marry. And a woman is not less than a woman if she chooses not to marry. But most of us want to find someone who will share our lives and grow old with us. Good husbands and wives comfort, encourage, support, and sustain each other. The inspired record says very plainly, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Hebrews 13:4. Finally, neither the church nor the nation can be so strong as it ought to be without strong families. Children need and deserve a father and a mother who love each other and who love them. May God bless our families and make them strong. And may God bless America. Thank you for listening, and may our Heavenly Father richly bless you.